Dearly beloved, welcome back to another episode of the Seven Slot Society podcast, the off-road lifestyle podcast that absolutely no one asked for. Today, I am very excited about this podcast. I've been excited about this one for a minute. You've probably seen it on Instagram, a gold two-door XJ, which I have a big soft spot for. Someone, this guy that I'm here with right now, dumped it on its face, and it has been hurting so many feelings on the internet. So I'm a big Jeep guy. I love doing off-road stuff, but when I see something that's cool like this, it definitely piques my interest. So I am here with Circus Hood. That's what you prefer to go by?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, then that's what we'll call you. All right, so if you want to give yourself like a little two-minute introduction, who you are, where you live, and what you do for a living.
So my name's, everyone knows me as Circus. Ever since I was a little kid, because I built this truck and everyone said it was like a circus coming down the road, you know, air ride, stereo, crazy interior, lights, everything. So the name just kind of stuck. I've been doing mini truck stuff since I was about 17 years old, so about half my life. So that's just been, and that's just, I've just wrapped my life around it. You know, anything that has to do with automobiles or customizing stuff, you know, that's my thing.
Yeah.
I live in Muncie, Indiana. Home of the Muncie Rock Crusher transmission, for those who know their old schools and stuff. Moved here about 4 years ago, originally from Sacramento, California. I work at a custom car shop, man.
Okay.
So it all comes full circle.
So for the shop, I've seen you guys have like a bunch of Jeeps. There's one specific one, the one on the Maxxis tires, the big black one.
Yeah.
You guys did that one?
All out build. Yeah, that thing's LS swapped, ORI suspension all the way around, interior cages beefed up, exoskeleton, Rhino lined. I mean, the thing is purpose built. One tons. It's a bad machine, dude. It's unstoppable.
Yeah, that thing looks fucking sick. Okay, so what is so at work? Are you kind of what's your role or your job title?
I'm the get shit done guy. You know, I'm not a
foreman or
anything like that. But if there's a job that needs done, you know, I'm the one that I'll stay late. I'll sleep in the shop if I need to.
Yeah.
So just fabricator, welder, wirer, whatever. You know, whatever the job asks for.
The wiring part, man. I think we've talked about this offline before. I see you wiring up these expensive stereos. If it's got wires, man, I'm not fucking touching it.
it's a double-edged sword, dude. Anytime I work on my personal stuff and I wire tuck a motor or do a, you know, change a harness or anything, and doing like lowered stuff, I'm always stretching harnesses and stuff. I'm always asking myself like why I choose to do this to myself, you know?
Right? Yeah. I remember my first radio in my TJ, I had a Wrangler, someone wired for me. They used the wire nuts in the back.
Yeah.
And I paid him like $20 to do it. It's just a little head unit. And then years later I went to replace it and I was like, man, I would really love to pay someone else to do this right now. And I was like, electrical tape in the back. This was before like I could solder and heat shrink and do all that shit. It was a fucking mess, dude.
We get a lot of remote starts in that we reinstall, and it's like you see the electrical tape and it's like unwrapping a present. It's like, is there solder under here? Is it twisted? What are we doing? So it's always a surprise, you know. There's no doesn't seem that there's any limits to wiring.
Right. I feel like when you see electrical tape, you know you're probably in for a bad time.
It's weird, you know, working with wiring and stuff, that's predominantly what my background in shops go. You see like the AutoZone electrical tape, and then you get excited when you see like the 3M electrical tape. You're like, all right, well, you broke the electrical tape. There's hope.
Yeah.
It's not plastic, so we're good.
We can work from here. Okay, so before we get into like the real nitty gritty stuff that I'm sure everyone wants to hear and I want to hear, this podcast is very selfish. I'm not going to lie, because I have 1,000 questions. So you said you moved to Indiana. You're not from Indiana. You're from Sacramento.
Correct, yeah. Yep.
What the fuck? How did that happen? Why?
I bounced around a lot. My boss likes to call me well-traveled because I've lived in a few different places. I just knew from the get-go that I didn't want to live in California. So I have good friends here. You know, my close friend circle is here. And I ended up here, and life literally, like, without any effort, put itself together in the best way I possibly could ask for. So
nice.
I'm here for good, you know. I get the question a million times anytime I'm at a bar and someone hears that, they're like, what the hell brought you to Muncie, Indiana? Not even like Indianapolis or a big city, but like Muncie, you know? And yeah, man, I'm simple, dude. I like building cars. They have no, it's endless what you could do here. You know, they yeah. don't even look at the car at the B&B. They just, as long as you have paperwork, they can give a shit less what it looks like. So,
oh, so no inspection, no nothing.
No inspection.
No emissions.
Nope. The only time you get an inspection is if you buy an out-of-state vehicle, an officer does a theft check. He'll just run the VIN, and he could care less what it looks like. So,
holy shit.
Yeah.
I thought Virginia was pretty lax. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
go ahead.
My shop, we predominantly do emergency vehicles. So we have a lot of
friends
come through that are officers. And it's always, you know, me from California, where we're one of the strict states.
Yeah.
I'm always like, hey, so what's the guidelines on this? What's the limits on this? And every answer to every question has always been, and I'm like, perfect. That's what I want to hear. That's it. You don't have to word it. That's good. I like that.
Yeah. It doesn't matter until you're already in trouble and they're looking for more things to get you in trouble for it.
Yeah, exactly. Then it's, I didn't know that. I didn't. I'm learning now too. So
yeah, I had no clue. Okay, so a couple weird questions first that I'm sure you get asked at every bar that you've ever been to. When did you start getting tattooed?
The day I turned 18. On the day. Yep. In California, there's no co-signing for 16 to 18 year olds.
Really?
No early tattoos. Actually, in Sacramento, you're about 2 hours away from Reno, Nevada. Mm-hmm. Where they do that. So a lot of times you get kids that are in California that have tattoos and they went up to Reno with their parents, got tattooed and came back.
Yeah.
The day I turned 18 and then, I just got out of high school, worked construction, had too much money with not enough bills. And I was in the shop like every other weekend getting covered. And the guy that tattooed me, he's like, hey, when are you going to start working here? So by 19, I was working in a shop. So
no shit.
Yep. So that's when all the free ones came. And that's predominantly why I'm covered. Everyone always wants to ask how much I've invested in. I'm like, mop floors and some scrubbing pretty much, but
sweat equity.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. I have a couple tattoos, but nothing like, no, these are cool tattoos right here. I still don't have any of those yet. I can't commit, man. I'm a fucking pussy.
In the industry, we call them job stoppers. So that's exactly what they do. I can't tell you how many times, throughout life that I've gone to turn in a job application and they don't even look me in the face. They're just scanning everything. And it's
no
just
shit.
It all. Yeah.
That's ridiculous. I feel like it's been getting less of that, as we go on, but still there's that stigma, but.
Oh yeah.
Another selfish question I have, what's the pain level getting your skull tattooed?
Man. So me working in shops in California, that's where all my friends are still. So anytime I really want to get tattooed, I fly out, I do it when I'm visiting family and stuff.
Yeah.
So I go out there with a list. So it's like, all right, we're knocking stuff out. It's not like I'm here for leisure. Like I got to get a plane ticket. So we're busting a lot of this list out. So when we started my head, we did all the gray work.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Amber Brajas. She's a badass. She's responsible for most of my head, you know, good friend of mine. We did 3 days in a row, like 9-10 hour days. And we stopped on the third day because my body gave out. She said, she asked me, you know, she's like, how you, am I allowed to cuss on here?
Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I cuss in front of my kids. she asked me, she's like, how you feeling right now? I was like, honestly, like shit. And she's like, your body's done. She's like, I'm tattooing water back here. She's like, so we'll have to finish it late next time.
What does that mean? Tattooing water means your body's just not taking it in.
Exactly. Yeah, your body's pushing it out as it's coming. It's basically I've been through so much trauma through the last couple of days in the same spot. You know, my body's just putting up defense and pushing whatever out.
Okay.
So we did all the gray work, and actually, just in June, I went out for my stepbrother's wedding. So I had trouble doing the back of my head. The soft spot's been the worst. So I've tried two different trips to get it done. Couldn't do it. So I told her, I was like, "We're finishing it. I don't care if you pin me down." It's happening because it's cover up too. So I really want it done.
Right.
So we get out there and I had started growing hair back at this time, you know, because the top I thought was done, you know.
Right.
So I'm getting ready to sit down. I pull my hat off and she's like, whoa, 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 what's that? And I was like, well, I told you I'm growing my hair back. She's like, I got to do the whole thing all over with black. So shave that shit off in the back and let's get rocking and rolling.
Holy shit. So you didn't know that she had to go back over it.
Nope. I had the back of my head numbed. I'm a big fan of numbing. I'm just too old to tough through tattoos. It wears me out.
Right.
So I had numbed the back of my head and she tattooed everything but that day.
Oh, dude.
We did it was 17 hours and 2 days of just pounding black in. So
that's fucking gnarly, dude. I think
it was tough, dude. It was
definitely tough. I bet. The longest I ever sat was for something on my shoulder, and it was only like 5 or 6 hours. I can't imagine just fucking planting in that chair and having somebody.
Oh, dude, it's rough. I'm definitely glad we're off of it. She didn't show her work, though, and she put up with me whining the whole time. So,
yeah. Maybe one day. One day this this seven slot shit will be my actual job, and then I can go full job stopper. But.
Yeah, my boss is all about it. He's like, keep getting face tattoos, dude. Do it. You're just locking yourself into me. So
exactly. Yeah, you're not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, he's pumped on it.
Fuck yeah. All right, so let's get into a little of the mechanic shit. Absolutely. Hold on. First, I'm going to crack one of these.
Yep.
And then I need a New Year's shot. I'm a seltzer guy. Don't judge me. Sour seltzer. Mm-mm.
I'm going to have to try that out. I've just been I'm not a big seltzer guy, but I didn't.
Most people aren't.
The ranch water, dude, I was pretty impressed. And I had a grapefruit one, which I can't do grapefruit, period. So it was good. I was stoked on it. So
same. The spicy ones are a little spicy. Cheers, man. Here's to the new year.
Cheers. Absolutely.
Mm. All right. So you, I'm guessing that you're not a Jeep guy.
This is the most Jeep guy I've gotten.
Yeah, and that's why I really wanted to have you on here, because the Jeep that you built not only like disrupted this little Jeep community on social media, but the one that you chose are very rare to find, and absolutely, most people don't build them at all. They just keep them stock.
I didn't know this. It was just the one available, and
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it was just my boss's brother had it. He had brought it up from Florida, so it was a no-rot vehicle, and it was just available. And from what I looked at, it didn't, in my head anyways, I didn't physically get into it, but a four-door didn't seem like it would work just from the wheel placement.
Right.
And I'm just not one of those builders where, like, you know, you tub into the door and the window doesn't roll all the way down, or the door striker doesn't shut the same.
Yeah.
If I build it, I want everything to work like it was supposed to work, you know? So the two-door was the way to go. Because, I mean, if you ask me, my friends, I'm like huge four-door long bed advocate. I love the ugliness. I'm all for it, you know?
Right.
And it was just available. And in fact, it was a 95 Sport, factory two-wheel drive, factory 4.0, factory five-speed. So,
oh, it was factory two-wheel drive. So it had the beam in the front.
Yep. Yeah. So I didn't know how rare this thing was until I started building it. And I started gaining Jeep followers from when you had featured it or shouted me out. And I started hearing back from all these guys, like, dude, that is like hard to find. Like,
yes.
So in building the Jeep, I had already always had in my head, like, this is sacrilegious. Like, I'm going to get hated on for sure. And then once they started telling me how rare it was, I was like, oh, I'm definitely getting hated on now.
Exactly. Like, yeah.
Unicorn, you know?
Yeah. So, unicorn. That's exactly what the fuck that was.
But it's been cool though, man. The Jeep community, I almost have more Jeep friends and followers now than I do mini truckers, dude. They've been super, you know, into it and supportive and all that. So all my Jeep followers, dude, you guys are awesome, man. I'm constantly getting likes and comments about how dope it is. And I greatly appreciate that. You know, it's awesome.
That blows my mind even more that that's not something that you went, because that's one of the questions I have is that what you went out looking for? That just happened to be what was there.
Yeah, it fell on my lap. He's a collector of cars, so he doesn't necessarily drive stuff. So everything's got a price. So I've been wanting to build a Jeep, and I was building a Mazda pickup at the time. I was getting real burned out on it.
Uh-huh.
And finally, I was like, dude, it's time to build this Jeep. And I was like, hey, what will it take for me to get that from you? And so I picked it up from him, and it was game time. So
what'd you pick it up for?
$1,600.
I like you, but fuck you. That's incredible, man. Wow. Yeah. Wow.
I did some side work too. So it kind of sweetened the deal a little bit too, but
right.
As far as cash value. Yeah.
Oh, $1,600. Wow. Yep.
Running, driving.
Wow. And no rust, which is Coast. So
oof. Yeah, it has a little spot in the roof, but it's been repaired. It's been done. So
yeah.
Yeah, I was pumped because me from California, we don't get rot like this. You know, you leave something in a field for 30 years and you still put a wrench on a bolt and break it, you know?
Yep.
So I moved out here and I was like, what the hell is all of this?
Exactly. So. Shit. Okay. So before we get more into the XJ, what was like your first vehicle that you started modifying more so than just like bolt on shit?
My first car ever was a Ford Explorer and I was 16. So I was doing simple shit like paint and accessories and big stereo and
yeah.
Which in those days it was not impressive by any means. I look at pictures. I've print the back when we used to print pictures.
Yeah.
I was flipping through those the other day and it was just like head in my hands. Like, I can't believe I was at that position at some point.
Right. Well, you thought at the time you think it's the coolest shit ever.
Oh, absolutely, man. Strobes, lights, get it, you know?
Yeah.
But as far as like real intensive stuff, I had a Ford Ranger, man. 94 Ford Ranger. Fucking Ford Ranger, dude. And that started it all, you know, which I'm lucky because I butchered that thing. I went through all my phases, all my learning on that thing. So
right.
I put that truck through hell, but you know, my next car was definitely more well executed.
Yeah. Does your first Ford Ranger still live on somewhere or has it been sacrificed?
Man, I'm pretty sure it's sacrificed. It was one of those, watch it on Craigslist every couple months, just in a lower bean.
Right. So, lowering the price $100.
Yeah. Right. Last I saw it, it had a giant hole in the dash with a TV and
Shit.
Yeah, it was in bad shape.
So you've been mini truck stuff your entire career, yeah, you would say.
Whole life. Growing up in California, the lowrider culture is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always one of those kids, man. If I saw a lowrider, especially with adjustable suspension, dude, it'd make my week. You know, I'd talk about that thing until I was blue in the face. So I started picking up lowrider magazines, and that's really why I decided I want to get covered in tattoos, is because you see these cats, you know, head to toe in tattoos with these immaculate rides. And the rides changed and the being itself, like I just wrapped my life into it. So
yeah, definitely lifestyle.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I've had about 40 vehicles in my lifetime and
no shit.
40 vehicles and probably at least half of them had switches on them. So,
wow. Yeah. That's something that's always intrigued me, but I was never, you know, like growing up, I was never really introduced to it. I lived in California for 6 years, but it wasn't that part of California. It's down in Oceanside. So it was more Southern California where there's more off-road stuff. So
yeah, you got the desert right there. So
exactly. Yeah. Fun. Do you know anything about King of the Hammers? It's a big off-road race.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
So where I was stationed at was like an hour from that race in 2009, which was like the first year or two of that race. I had no clue. Zero clue. Like, it was right there. Like, I just think sometimes I could have been on the cusp of this race becoming huge, like being there. No fucking clue.
You're just out of earshot. Like, had you heard like one fly by, you would have been there.
Exactly. And there's parts of the race that actually go on to the base's like landmass.
Oh, yeah.
No clue, dude. No clue. So fucking pissed.
I pay a lot of attention to like pre-runners and trophy trucks just because it's a similar thought process as far as the suspension goes. And I mean, those guys are cycling, you know, like 2-3 feet at a time, from like four group all the way tucks. So, I mean, with building a mini truck, unless you're doing a big lift system, you know, you're only cycling, you know, maybe 2 feet, and that's at an extreme, you know. So
right.
Seeing those guys and how they're kind of overcoming all that pivoting and how they're keeping geometry right. It's helped a lot through builds that I've done, you know, kind of understanding more. Cause if they're cycling, you know, all that distance and I'm only cycling this much, but the design is the same, you know, it's kind of helps you show that it's been tried and true and they beat the shit out of those trucks. So
yeah. Yeah, definitely. So tell me a little bit about the mini truck scene. So what is, so in like off-road land, Wranglers are good. The Toyota Tacomas are good platforms to start with. What in mini truck land is like a perfect platform to start with?
I mean, you have guys that are real good at each one, you know, like sort of like how you got Volkswagen guys and they know the ins and outs, but you know, you have guys that aren't Volkswagen guys that don't have a clue.
Right.
I'm one of those guys. They scare the shit out of me because I hear the suspension and I don't want anything to do with it.
Yeah.
But a lot of guys, you know, Toyotas, Mazdas, Nissans, they all kind of have the same suspension setup.
Mm-hmm.
And they lay super hard and their frames are tucked up pretty tight, small frames. So, I mean, they lay super good. So those are always a favorite just because the reward is so much greater for putting those on the ground. But me personally, I'm a big fan of like S10 suspension. Mm-hmm. It's just real generic, real easy to understand, and it's just there. You know, there's no, you don't change anything. The geometry's right, no matter where you put it, and parts are everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm a big fan of using that.
And is there like a year range? Like
no,
late 90s, early 90s, 80s?
From the time they started making the S10 to the time they ended it, they used the same A-arm setup. I mean, I'm sure you can't cross a square body with a round body, but
right.
It's still an A-arm control arm setup. So
okay.
Yeah.
So what's the goal of mini trucks? Is it to see how low you can get it, or is there like I'm telling you, when I don't know shit, dude, I don't know shit. Do you guys have like competitions? Like I've seen videos where there's a group of people and they're like bouncing and shit, but how does that work?
It just depends on the builder. And a lot of it has to do with the scene too, you know, like from Cali, going to shows in Cali to going to shows here in the Midwest, it's definitely a little bit more hospitality and connection here in the Midwest. Whereas out in the West Coast, you know, you have like the cats that are hopping them and who can push the car the farthest with their setup and everything like that.
Right.
I think it all just depends on the builder. You know, I know cats that have competed with each other to see who can get lower and all this and that. And you got cats that really look at the aesthetic of the car and really don't want to overdo the modifications. They really want to like, almost like they're redesigning the car itself.
Okay.
Me personally, dude, it's just all I know and all I love to do. So I like building weird shit and I like, you know, I like enjoying what I build. So,
right.
But the connection, dude, that's big for me is the people, you know, I have met so many people and known so many good people, and it's been an awesome experience being a part of it.
Yeah. So you went to a show a little while ago. I was supposed to go. I was supposed to meet up with you. That didn't happen. I apologize. But it was a Jeep show, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Or was it?
Are you talking about the Jeep Summer Meridian show, or are you talking about the one on
yes.
the East Coast?
Yes, okay, that yeah. one. Yeah.
Yeah, Jeep Summer Meridian. That was the first day the Jeep had ever seen the road. And I got there almost late because I was putting in interior as they were setting the show up.
No shit.
Yeah, that was the first time the Jeep had ever seen the road. And I drove home to shower and straight back to the show.
God damn. So how was that received? Because a lot of people will talk shit online because, you know, you can't get punched in the mouth from behind a phone screen. How was the people that actually came up and talked to you about it?
Dude, I was with my roommate and a good friend of ours. And the whole way in there, I was telling him, I was like, this is the test, man. If I really, you know, did a fuck you to the Jeep scene, I'm going to know here in a minute. Because, I mean, when I tell you, like, dude, they're everywhere. Like, they shut a big square of downtown, this town called Anderson, down, and it's like just stacked all the way.
Yeah.
You have all walks, all different styles, everything.
Yeah.
So we're driving through there, and like I'm trying to read the looks, you know. So I'm trying to figure out, like, should I just drive through the other side and just go back home, or
loop around?
Yeah, but dude, it was super well received, which was awesome.
Good.
And I think that has a little bit to do with the area. You know, Indiana's a big, you know, motorsport state, especially the area I'm in, Muncie. You know, it's real blue collar, real, you know, car builder town. So, I mean,
yeah,
the different stuff's also welcome too. And like even the local Jeep clubs here in Indiana, like they always ask me to come to the shows, and they've always been super nice to me and made sure, you know, super hospitable when I go to their shows.
Yeah, good. So what was the goal when you finally got this two-door unicorn for $1,600? what was the goal when you looked at it stock? You hadn't touched it yet. What did you envision it in your mind?
I've wanted to build this since I was about 17, 18 years old. As soon as I started building my first truck, I was always looking for the next different one. You know, I was like, all right, after I learn the basics on this one, I want to really build something that I like. And I saw back in the day, us mini truckers had a forum called Street Source Magazine. And it was essentially, you know, all the builders, everyone in the scene in one garage, so to speak, just sharing it. I mean, I won't say it was drama free, because I mean, that's just social media of any sort, you know.
Yeah.
But there was a white two-door that I saw on there. I'm gonna shout him out. His name's Jordan Herndon. He built it, and dude, I saw it, and there was not a time from me seeing that Jeep that it wasn't on a screensaver on a phone or a computer or in my, like, a picture in my possession at any time, because that was always in game. I thought it was the baddest thing ever. he never got into driving, but I mean, I just knew that I wanted one, you know, I had to do it. And
shit. So you had this in mind for a minute.
Oh yeah. Like in my mind, it was a blueprint. It was that at game time, you know, as soon as I got my hands on it, it was just putting this to reality.
Right.
So it just over time, I either had, you know, the knowledge, not the place, or the place, not the knowledge. And
yep.
Finally it was just time, you know, it dawned on me. It's like, let's do this. So as soon as I got it, it was like, let's get to work. You know, it was no time.
Fuck yeah.
Yep.
What was the first thing you did to it?
I pulled the motor and cut the floor out of it.
So you cut the floor out, and then from your pictures on Instagram, it looks like you remade the floor.
Yeah. So I grinded the rockers, the inner rockers flush.
Right.
And I plated them, and then I built the chassis as if it was just a regular vehicle. And instead of doing body mounts, I just re-unibodied it.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now, dude. That's so fucking crazy.
I mean, the big thing with like body mounts and stuff, it takes away vibration, or it helps with vibration and noise. And
right.
In a truck, when you're an inch off the ground, that's all you're going to get. So,
yeah,
I mean, I'm all about simplicity. So taking all the time to figure out body mounts and placement, where the structure is good for them and stuff, I'd rather just jump ahead and just unibody it. It was a unibody in the beginning. Guys wield these things like crazy as a unibody.
Yeah.
There should be no reason why I can't do the same lower as a unibody. So,
right.
Yeah. So I just basically plated the rockers, made my chassis, and then I just made runners from the rocker to the chassis every 16 inches or so.
Yeah. And that's all you weld, you do cutting, everything.
Yep. Hands down, this thing was start to finish me so far. Do have some friends I'll be getting in touch with for helping me out with some stuff that I'm not totally knowledgeable on. I got a buddy, Nick Woodring. He did the brake lines for me. He's a master as far as tube bending goes, as far as hard line and everything like that. It's just that compared from me, my skill level to his skill level, he could do in no time what it would take me weeks to do. So I just, and it looks a million times better. So I just let him take the reins on that. So,
My extent of brake lines is the copper line. I bend it by hand. I flare it. I test it. Brake fluid goes everywhere. I have to cut all the ends off and re-flare them all. So good I am with that.
he makes artwork of it, dude. It's unreal. You know, I'll tell him, like I said, like simplistically, like, all right, I need to go from here to here to here and then something to the back.
Yeah.
And when he shows me the product, it's like, it's a piece in its own, you know, it's wild. So,
yeah.
He's definitely a magician with it.
That's fucking awesome. So tell me a little bit about the rear suspension of it. Like I said, mini trucks, I don't know shit. Air suspension, bags, I don't know shit.
All good. So everything on the Jeep is Jeep except for the suspension, which is S10. So it's an S10 solid axle rear end. It's a two link with a Z bar. Basically it's just a lateral bar to keep lateral motion. So it starts at the mounting point of one bar and ends up on the axle side of the opposite bar.
Okay.
And it's kind of like a push pull. It, you know, it can't push, it can't pull. So it keeps the axle kind of in line.
Right.
Mini trucks seen two links of the cheater way. It's not the desirable way, 'cause you have a lot of pinion change. It's the great debate, you know, it's the Ford versus Chevy of the mini truck world is two links of the trash, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, I never planned to lock this thing up, which locking up means filling the air all the way up into the bags.
Okay.
I built this thing to drive an inch off the ground, and that's where it's going to stay. So I set it up to drive perfect there, and that's it.
Right. What's the point of locking up? Like, just so you can drive?
Yeah, if you have to get on a trailer, or if you're getting into a real aggressive parking lot or something like that. Just having the ability to, basically the separation from just static dropping something to having it adjustable.
Okay. I've seen of cars of ripping their bumpers off going into parking lots.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That's the difference right there. So when you lock up, you're avoiding that.
Okay. I got you.
And that's actually, that's one of the tasks I'm getting ready to do here in the spring is I'm actually going to take the straight axle out and I'm going to convert it to independent rear suspension.
Oh,
it was my game plan from the start, but I was so anxious to drive it. You know, it'd been years that I'd wanted this thing to happen.
Yeah,
and I'm a month into it, and it's like I just need it done. So I just went the simple way, put an axle and a two link in, and got it driving. But I think I'm gonna go back to the plan A and swap it out with the C3 Corvette independent rear.
Okay,
which keeps me the same third member. It's a Chevy 10 bolt, Mm-hmm. So a Corvette is basically a Chevy 10 bolt without axle tubes. So that way my drive shaft stays the same. It's the same, you know, physical size.
Oh, wow.
And it's actually the right gear ratio. Because right now, so manual XJs, as most of the guys know, is it's like a 307 gear. Mm. Well, the F10 is a 373. So like 55 is like fifth gear pin and loud. So it definitely limits how much I drive this thing. So
right.
The C3 Corvettes, if it was automatic after 72, I think, from what I've researched, I don't want to get crucified on bad knowledge, but there were 307s or 308s. So it's like, it's the perfect gear ratio. It's what I wanted to do from the start. And I just think IRSs are cool. You know, you look down the side and you see all four wheels tilted in.
Yeah.
I think it's a cool touch, you know?
Yeah. Dude, that would add like a whole, because the wheels don't look like that now, right? They're not cambered.
No, not huge. No, it's not like the big thing that's going around now where the kids have them poked out and everything. It's not that.
But you're saying that once you change the rear, then you can do that, is what you're saying.
Yeah, then it'll get cambered. And that's the unfortunate part about the year Corvette that I'm going with, is it's called a swing axle.
Okay.
So it actually doesn't have an upper control arm. The spindle is basically like hard mounted to the control arm. So as it swings, it's cycling the same way that the control arm is. So it will produce a lot of camber, but I'm gonna try to counteract that a little bit and work with the control arms and see if I can get some of that out.
Right.
But that's just what fits back there. As soon as you go up to a C4 Corvette, it gets super wide and can't tuck it and anything like that. So this is what I'm stuck with. So I'm gonna just make it work and get the best out of it.
Yeah. Random thing I just thought of. What do you still have the Jeep seats in there?
No. I actually tried to sell them and I got bashed a lot on Facebook for trying to sell them, but they were pretty damn clean. And I was like, does anyone have a use for it? I think I still have the back seat. I think that's all I still have. But no, it's the only other Chevy component other than the front suspension, the rear axle, is the seats. They're out of cobalt.
Okay.
Strictly for the matter that they mount flat and my entire floor is flat. So it's just simplicity of just throwing four bolts in it and going down and not making a bunch of brackets and stuff. So, and I'm going to do four buckets and a console from the dash all the way to the back. So it works out pretty good.
Nice. I just saw you posted you're looking for a trans tunnel.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that just to like finish out the interior?
It's a solid floor now. I just really don't like how mine came apart. I just like, I wish I would have kept that section and just made it taller, like, you know, added metal to kind of just spring it up.
Right.
I thought I was going to make my own, and I just really don't like how it looks. And my final plan for the floor isn't carpet or anything. I'm going to bedline the whole floor of it.
Nice.
Kind of keep a little bit of the off-road kind of touch, you know, to it.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to see it, and I really want it to be kind of smooth looking, and I'm just not totally satisfied with what I did.
Right.
Plus, I'm going to lower the motor a little bit. That's what's keeping a hood off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And with the IRS, the drive shaft angle will change. So a lot of that floor is going to change anyway. So I figure while I'm at it, I might as well make it a little bit more, you know, easy on the eyes and whatnot.
Yeah. Oof, you'll be hard pressed in Indiana to find like a whole floor section that's not rotted the fuck out.
I lucked out. I put it up on Instagram and Facebook, and I lucked out. A friend of mine that I didn't know worked at a scrapyard hit me up. He's like, dude, I have dozens. I'll find the best one.
No shit. Yeah, local out. To you?
Local to me. Yeah.
Wow. Nice, dude. That's clutch. Yeah. Fuck yeah. All right. So after you're done with the rear, you said the Corvette rear. What's next?
This is actually developed in the last couple of days, man. I was kind of torn on the route. I was really going to dress it up, you know, do the swinging fifth wheel, not go as far as like, you know, the off-road bumpers or anything like that, but still kind of like keep the basket, keep that kind of touch to it. But I just really was stewing on stuff and really looking at it. I think I'm going to go like OG mini truck and like shave the taillights and do some wild stuff. You know, when I get a hood tilted to the side, suicide the doors, like really.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, really do some
fuck yes. Oh, that's gonna be fucking nasty, dude.
So yeah, I'm gonna get in there, do some body mods, and just really set it apart. And you know, maybe any of the listeners that hear this can kind of give me some advice. I got some friends that I've been talking to all morning about it, but I really want to change the factory license plate bucket in the hat.
We're back from a quick break. You were talking about doing something with the license plate in the rear and the hatch.
Yeah. So, it's not something I am dead set on, but I would love to see it happen just to really set it apart and really touch back to like the generation of trucks when I got into the mini truck scene. But I would love to just basically what we call shave or get rid of the factory license plate box and just put one off to the side where it's just the license plate box. Right. It was just a really big mod. When I got into mini trucks, it was like you shaved everything. You got rid of handles, taillights. Yeah. You changed everything on the vehicle, made it wild. So just something to touch on that. But I don't have a ton of fiberglass experience. I tried to fiberglass my factory dash and it ended up in the dumpster. So
I do remember you telling me that.
If someone else isn't doing it for me, then I'm kind of standoffish about doing it. So
yeah,
I've been talking to a couple buddies of mine that are kind of pitching me some ideas and kind of getting me into what I'll be getting into if I do decide to do it. But we'll see if that happens.
So for it's called shaving, right? So shaving the hatch, it's not like just boxy in with like metal and shit and then tacking it and put a flat piece over it and like Bondo and shit. Like you're talking fiberglass.
That's what you would do. But with the hatch of the XJs, they're all fiberglass. They're solid glass. So
are they really?
Yeah. The whole thing is fiberglass. So you can't,
fucking
no
teaching
way to
me shit, man.
I'm teaching the Jeep guy stuff.
There you go. I'm here for it, dude. I'm here for it.
But as far as like bonding metal to fiberglass, you know, you have to almost stick with the material. It's kind of like aluminum and steel. It has to be the same.
Wow. I did not know that. Cause I've been hit in the head with a fucking XJ tailgate where the gas struts didn't work. Fucking, they feel like metal.
Well, you can imagine like my tailgate or my liftgate lifts to about here. So the whole time building it, if I'm tucked in there and I stand up, dude, it's straight into it. It still happens on a regular basis. So
I bet. Before I forget, do you have an om bomb on your hand?
I do. Yeah. Yep.
No shit.
Yeah.
Look
at
that.
Big Mario fan.
Fuck yeah, dude.
And I'm actually lasering this hand off to put the little fire shooter guy on there.
Lasering off.
Yeah, it's been an experience.
have you had it before?
No,
lasering technique?
This is my first journey. I lucked out, you know, I started working at a tattoo shop at 19. I lucked out by getting in the hands of like great artists. However, I was a 19-year-old picking out tattoos for the rest of my life. So,
right, yeah.
You know, I have a lot of t-shirt designs on me that I'd love to not have on me anymore. So,
yep, I have some dumb ones.
I'm embarking in that journey now. It's not bad. It definitely hurts more than a tattoo, but dude, it is so fast and so easy to tough through.
No shit.
Yeah, my appointments are usually at 12, and by 12:15, I'll be back in the truck ready to go home.
What? So, how many sessions? Does it just matter, like, how old it is or how much ink's in it?
Yeah, how old it is, especially with as far as tattooings come. Like, I mean, if you're lasering off something that got done, like, early 2000s, late 90s, I mean, that ink isn't as far as ink's come lately. I mean, it's probably easy to break up. Because what the laser does is it basically, it creates a burn on your skin, and it breaks the ink up. So your body heals the burn, but in the same process pushes out this broken up ink through the burn.
No shit.
Yeah, so older ink, it's easier to break up, and a lot of times it hasn't aged the best anyway, so it's already breaking up. So
yeah.
But then again, double-edged sword, I fell in the hands of great artists, so I have really solid, you know, tattooed pieces on me that are getting lasered off. So it takes the full tilt.
Right.
So
they're great tattoos, but now that you want to do something different, you're paying the price.
Yeah, my friend Amber that I shout out earlier, she tells me all the time, I always hit her up about like what can get covered up and what can't, and she's like, man, the things that you want to cover up are so far from what I usually cover up, because they're actually done well and done nicely, you know. And she's like, I would never cover it up. And I'm like, yeah, well, I'm a dude with a bunch of famous stars and strap tattoos on him, so
that's only so funny to me, because I had one of those shirts and I feel like we're kind of the same age.
at the first shop I worked at, I did body piercing, so like my workload was real short, so I'd be sitting on the computer and people would come in and flip through my artist portfolio and see my neck piece, and it said famous or the family across my neck. And this, no bullshit, happened. Some dude was like, who the hell would get that on their body? And I'm sitting back facing to him.
The tattoo facing him.
And I turn around and he just looks at me like, oh, sorry, man.
Oh, that is so good.
So yeah, now looking back, I'm like, yeah, that's, I have the same point of view. Who would get that on them?
You know? Oh my god!
No hate to anyone who has the family tattoo on him.
That is fucking hilarious. There was a time when I was like, I am absolutely getting this tattooed on me.
Oh. Yeah, I've seen some variations. I met a kid who had the family, but he was sponsored or worked for Monster, and he had the M as Monster instead of the F for family, which was a pretty cool twist on it. But yeah, it just wasn't for me, man. I also weighed like 145 pounds coming out of high school. So like a lot of my tattoos are very small compared to my body is now. So,
right.
You know, I have the tough guy belly rocker that only fills up that much of my belly. So real, I'm winning a lot.
Holy shit. Oh my God. All right. Back to Jeeps real quick. So the fender wells in the XJ, is that something that you rolled, or do they like sell that as part of like mini truck builder kits or something?
So my tubs are actually trailer fenders, front okay. and rear.
Nice.
The front's a tandem fender that I just chopped in half and it just rolled off. The rears are two singles, welded together.
Okay.
Which I'm actually, this is kind of like me kicking myself, going back and doing the IRS. I'll be changing the floor a little bit too. I'm cutting the fender tubs out because I just think the angle, like a kind of a hexagon, would look a lot better than the rounded ones, just because of the Jeep lines and it's so square.
Right.
So I'm gonna change those up, but I'll probably hand make those.
Okay. Do you know how to use like what's it called, an English wheel?
English wheel.
Do you run it?
I have a buddy of mine who's been doing it a lot longer than me. And I hit him up all the time. I'm like, man, I wish I would have learned this like so much later. I feel like I'm way too late in my career for any of this to be like,
oh my God. Yes, dude. Holy shit.
You know, it's like, I maybe have like two, three more builds in me, you know, and knowing it now, it's like, well, shit, I'm just going to go back and use my cutoff wheel and the vise, you know, cause that's just what I'm used to.
Oh shit. When you say a cutoff wheel and a vise, you are speaking every XJ owner's language, all of them.
Yeah, dude. I started doing this with the tools I had in my garage, and that's happened to be what it is. And I've been that way since, you know. I'm more comfortable with it, and that's it. You know, it's like an old dog, a new trick, man. I don't even know if I could learn an English wheel. I have the patience for it.
Right. That shit fucking intimidates the shit out of me. Like, I don't like putting myself in a position where I know I'm going to feel like a dumbass and look like an idiot. Hard pass, dude.
Absolutely.
Because there's guys that have been doing that 15, 20 years.
Like nothing.
Yeah, like you said, I only have two more builds left in me. I don't have another 15 years to learn this shit, dude.
No.
In 15 years, I'm going to be buying all of my shit already done. I'm learning that the hard way.
I know bullshit. Doing my drive shaft tunnel, I had the floor already in. I just took a flat piece of metal. I tacked it on the one side, and I just pushed it over, and it made like its natural rolls. Like, and then we fucking go. There it is, right there.
Yep. Push it over. Give her a little tack.
If I would have made a YouTube tutorial about that, I would have got just crucified in the comments, like by any metal worker ever. Like,
holy shit. Have you put any of this build on YouTube at all?
I haven't. I feel real awkward on camera, so I don't.
Most people do.
Yeah. So unless it's a conversation, like I feel, but if I'm like the sole one talking and entertaining, like I just feel like I'm just.
Hey guys, so here we are doing, but welcome to my fucking life,
plus,
dude.
Plus my friends are assholes, so like the first 10 comments would be like people I know, like, dude, what a douchebag. Stop
for
talking.
Sure. That's for sure. Yep, exactly. Very familiar with that. So as you've been going through this build, what has been the easiest part other than the drive shaft tunnel you just talked about? And what has been the hardest part that's taken up the most amount of time?
Dude, you know what's wild? And it was the scariest part getting into it is so much of this build worked. It just, everything just happened to like fit and work and everything, to the point of like even where the alternator is placed on the 4.0, the S10 already has a factory dent in the frame where it was sitting. So it's like all I had to do was exaggerate that dent. It's not like I had to notch the frame or anything. It just already was there. And it was one of those things where I'm like, all right, if this is going so easy, one of these days down the road, it's going to be a freaking nightmare.
Yeah.
But dude, it was actually pretty smooth sailing, but it's just the fact of the sheet metal on the XJ is so short, you know, and like the motor hung out the bottom, so the foot could be flat. Hence why I don't have a hood right now. So that was the trickiest part, is, you know, tucking everything up that needed to be up without having to be like flying through, you know, over the windshield line, you know.
Right.
That's another thing I'm going to address here in the spring, is I'm going to get in the oil pan and see if I could section it out, take a couple inches out of it. Same with the pickup tube, just to try to bring that oil pan up. Cause I mean, I am like there, as it is as low as it can possibly be. So.
Dude, that is crazy. I never thought about that. So in order to, especially with that motor, it fucking sticks out like this, and then it's the rest of the oil pan. So you actually have to like cut it and then shorten the pickup tube. So it's then holy fuck.
Yeah. So that's what I'm gonna get into, is see if I can shorten the oil pan.
Is that something, do you know if like people have done that before?
Oh yeah, it happens all the time. A lot of guys do it with LS swaps. Oh,
okay.
It's common. I don't want to say common knowledge, but
that's where I prove myself that I don't know shit about mini trucks.
it's a pretty regular thing.
Okay.
It's nothing I've done personally yet.
Right.
But I mean, it's sheet metal, and worst come to worst, I just put a new oil pan on and leave the engine where it's at and stop touching stuff. So.
stop fucking with it.
Yeah, right.
But then that would allow you to drop the motor lower so you could put a hood on it.
Put a hood on it. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Right now, the intake has been my biggest issue. Actually, my intake manifold, I had a good Nick Woodring, the guy that did my brake lines. He actually TIG'd the front PCV, or I guess it's not a PCV in the front, but that little vacuum neck there. He TIG'd it shut so I could put a brass elbow lower, because that was hitting the hood as I was shutting it. Okay. Then later to find out that the intake is actually the highest point. So I actually re-drilled where he had shaved off that port and put it back. So I was like, well, if I'm not going to run the hood, then I'm going to run this exactly how it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, if I could drop the motor down, then maybe I could revisit the intake and give myself some more options. Cause I entertain making my own intake tube and all that. But if I wasn't going to run a hood anyways, then I'll just put the factory intake back on it.
Right. So for the mini truck scene, is it like, against the rules to just like have the stuff that's too high sticking out?
No, it's super common. You'll see a lot of guys with the hood cut around, you know, anything that sticks through.
Right.
It's just an aesthetic thing. Plus, you know, the air filter's sitting there. So if it starts raining, luckily it's a 4.0 and they run practically on water from what I've heard from people.
It's true. Speaking as a guy who has actually blown up a 4.0.
it's just an aesthetic thing. If I had to do a lot of cut out, I wouldn't really trip too much. I just, the front end, since like I said, the sheet metal is so low, getting a hood on it makes that the Jeep look so much lower to the ground.
Yeah.
One of the mods I want to do is a side tilt hood. So instead of opening traditional, I want to kick off to the side. When I got into the mini truck scene. So
that's something that's common in the mini truck scene?
I wouldn't say common, but it's definitely a mod that's been done a few times. And it definitely sets things apart. It's just something to mess with, basically. So like that kind of sums up, like when I got into the scene, that was mini truckers like etiquette, as you mess with everything. If you can mess with it, mess with it, you know. It's changed definitely along the years, and but I still have those roots, you know, where that's what made me love it, you know.
You
see a cover truck at a show and he goes to start the key and the dash is a Christmas tree, you know what I mean? Every light's on, you know. Now guys are paying tens of thousands of dollars to get computers reprogrammed so factory features all work exactly as if it was stock. So I'm stuck in my roots. So if I can mess with it, I want to mess with it.
Yeah. Are you, do you have any aspirations of like doing what you were talking about, like shaving, like no handles?
Yeah.
No, nothing.
I'm really doing that just because I'm suiciding the doors. Mm-hmm. And I really don't, I mean, I always liked when people would take the handle and move it forward since the door opens that way, moving the handle to the front of the door.
Right.
But just being the mirror there, I kind of just maybe look at something like maybe put a button under the mirror or like hide a handle in the mirror or some getting technical as far as that goes.
Yeah.
So that's really the only reason I'm shaving it is just because the door is open the other way.
Yeah.
And they may just stay shaved. I don't know. It's who knows.
Ah, dude, that's going to be so sick.
I'm more of a cut it up now and ask questions later kind of guy. So whether it goes
maybe
well
that
or not,
everything you're saying makes me like you even more. Oh shit. So anything else that's planned? Any secrets that you have that you're holding? Nobody listens to this podcast.
Honestly, those are pretty much it. I mean, get interior and paint on it. Doing all the wild stuff. I really want to surprise everybody with it, but dude, I'm so excited about it that I just can't help it. So I've already ruined my own surprise anyway. So
yeah.
Nothing really secret. It's just kind of a lot of it's developing as I go. As far as the interior, how it ends up looking with the stereo and all that, I have no clue because I haven't even started on it. So
yeah,
when I get into it, stuff will kind of just let itself fall into place. But I'm big on like looking, which I never did growing up, but I really like kind of took it on like looking at the whole vehicle and looking at the shape. You know, like you see a squared vehicle like the XJ, and then a fiberglass round wavy interior, it just doesn't really go right because nothing on the car is round and wavy.
Right.
So I'm big as far as that goes, but as far as an actual specific plan, I have no clue.
Are you putting a headliner back in it?
Oh yeah, it's got a headliner in it with the
Why did I think it did it? Oh no, shit.
I think I may have mentioned to you that I was doing a sliding rag, so which I'm throwing back and forth. I don't know. I might do it. I might not.
Yeah.
But it's so low that, dude, you can like shake someone's hand through the ceiling. You know what I mean? It's
no shit.
I always thought that'd be cool just to have, you know, slide the rag open. It's like boom, you see everything right there.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm still kind of on the fence about it.
Yeah.
But the rack's definitely staying. Rack and basket are absolutely staying, even if
And is that Jeep official? Because I saw the sticker on it.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually a Wrangler basket.
Oh no, shit.
Yeah, I've thrown around the ideas of getting like a full length for the Cherokee roof, and then just keeping that wind fairing on it.
Right.
But it's kind of growing on me just being that back half there. So yeah. Which I may just do a regular sunroof just over the passenger area. So who knows.
So fucking sick, dude. So sick. The first time I saw that thing, I was like, oh my God, this hits like all of the things that I love about Jeeps, about the two-door being just fucking cool. And then the other side of me that's like, I think cool shit is cool regardless of what it is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm definitely one of those builders where, you know, I may not have the same taste and I may not see myself building one, but I can absolutely appreciate, you know, work that goes into it.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm all about, I love anything with a motor, you know, like we're talking about King of the Hammers. We watch that almost on a Sunday basis, 1320. I mean, there's no limit to my taste in vehicles. You know, it's just what I choose to build is what I choose to build, you know. But yeah, I can definitely appreciate anybody's build. You know, I follow a lot of the Jeep guys that you've shouted out on your Instagram, and a lot of guys that I try to follow everyone back. So if I'm not following you on Instagram, I'm sorry. Maybe you hit me up because I got flooded with people. So I tried to like follow back every time, but
were you expecting that to happen?
I mean, I knew that it would definitely catch attention being what it was, but
right.
It wasn't ever what I built it for. You know, I never built it to, you know, break the internet or go viral or anything like that. You know, I've always wanted to build one. So
yeah.
When I got the attention, dude, it was surreal. It was the first vehicle that I built that I really got that kind of attention and feedback on. So it was definitely,
I'm glad it was like, mostly positive then. Fuck.
Oh dude, I've been so grateful. You know, guys will write me messages, you know, and just thanking me and, you know, appreciating the build. And it's just been so incredible, dude. It's been such a cool experience. Yeah. It's been a cool time. So yeah, like I was saying, like I wasn't prepared for all the attention and stuff, but, it's definitely been a cool journey. Shout out to, another badass, Jeep that everyone should definitely go check out is, Ray Somers, Somers, badass white Grand Cherokee. He's that's his Facebook. I'm not sure what his Instagram is. You'll have to get him. He'll probably
write me,
you know, give me a word for not shouting out his Instagram too, so people can follow him.
I'll find it and I'll put it in all the links.
Absolutely. He's got a badass you'll have to correct me because I'm not up to the TJ, XJ, all that. I just learned what an MJ was, so it's awesome.
Yeah.
But he's got a Grand Cherokee, white Grand Cherokee. It was built about 10 years ago.
Nice.
Incredible vehicle. It his is going through some wild similar rebuild kind of thing, just kind of restyling it and in touch with the same kind of roots. So but definitely a cool Jeep to check out as well.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's been a
cool journey. I love that shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell me how you got linked up with these magazine guys.
I'm actually really good friends with the owners and all that run it. And, you know,
he had told me,
I had sent him kind of a sneak peek because I didn't put the Jeep online until it got on the ground. The whole time it was on the frame table, I wanted to keep it hush-hush. I wouldn't let anyone post pictures of it. There's an Instagram page called Everything Low. They're also on Facebook. He knew about it through my roommate, but even then he was like, hey, you don't post this until it's time.
Yeah.
I kind of gave him a sneak peek, like, hey, next year, man, I'm going to come out pretty hard. And so from the get go, he was stoked. So it was like one of those things, like, he's like, when the time comes, he's like, that's absolutely getting featured. And again, I wasn't expecting what I got. You know, I thought I was going to get like the side column under construction, which is a big thing with mini truck magazines, is you have like, you know, the split page or a side column of under construction vehicles. Getting what I get, it was incredible. Shout out to All Time Low Magazine, Rich and Beth Waterman. They're amazing people. I'm so glad they're growing and, you know, they're doing their thing. They're great people as well. So
yeah, I went to try and buy a copy of the hard copy, and they were sold out. Yeah. Do you know if they have any more that I can buy?
I may know a guy who bought a few of them, so I can maybe get that guy to mail you one. So
maybe if that guy could sign it, and I will pay whatever you ask for it.
Absolutely, man. I'll absolutely send it to you. Not a problem.
Fuck yeah, dude. So the magazine thing is big for me because I'm like real big into media and photography and videography and all that shit. So was there any point when you were building this, like in the grind, like you've had a long day at, so you work and then you work on your own shit. So it's late at night, you're working on your own shit. Was there at any point your brain goes like, man, this will all be worth it if I can get into a magazine, or this will all be worth it if such and such?
It was, you know, anything I've ever built, you know, magazines, trophies, none of that stuff ever really, like, it wasn't never a priority to me. You know, it's always a great feeling getting a trophy or getting into the magazine. I mean, that was a surreal feeling. Like I said, even with the attention, I've never experienced that with anything I've built. So it all kind of gives you a feeling of being worth it, you know, or what you're doing is worth it.
Right.
But it was never the sole reason. Like, I'm doing this to get seen or get anything. I just like driving cool shit. And honestly, if you know, they stopped having shows, I would still enjoy it just as much driving it around town and getting the attention around town. That's the main thing, is I just like taking, you know, just drive you with no destination, you know, take it somewhere and enjoy it.
So. Yeah, so it was just seeing it completed from a vision in your head to sitting behind the steering wheel and keying it up for the first time. That was that was it.
Dude, it was unreal. It was something else. And actually, there's a video I posted of me driving it out for the first time. I had no brakes and there was something else not hooked up. My clutch was messed up. So I had no brakes, no clutch. So I basically started it out in second, stayed in second, and just drove it around the parking lot. And literally I could live in that moment, you know, the whole way up to actually being able to drive it. Like, I could have just lived in those few seconds of just rolling it and just having it be a something, you know?
Yeah. Something that moved under its own power.
Yeah, it's such a huge step, you know. It's like this is real now, you know. It's not just me, you know, playing a video game or putting a puzzle together. Like, this is a real thing now, you know.
Right.
So
fuck yeah, I'm almost there with mine is a little bit different build than yours, but I'm just waiting for that day I can go out of the garage under its own power. But we'll see.
It's great.
Another question I have for you. We'll wrap up shortly. I'll give you back your New Year's Eve. We are recording on New Year's Eve, by the way. Neither of us have shit to do today, so we're doing a fucking podcast. How often do you do like quintessential Jeep things? Like four-wheel? Do the clubs take you out, or do you have friends that do that? Or are you strictly lowrider mini truck stuff?
I would absolutely love to go out and wheel. I don't have anything personally that wheels. When I lived in California, I was not even an hour away from Rubicon. So I had a bunch of my buddies, that's what they built buggies and stuff, and our schedule just never lined up to go. But it's definitely nothing that I'd be opposed to. I just, when it comes to building vehicles, the ground stops me eventually from going any lower.
Right.
If I lifted something, it would be so obnoxiously lifted that it would almost be not drivable. So that's the only reason I don't have lifted stuff. So there's nothing against going on wheeling or anything. If anyone, you know, wants a wheeling buddy, I'll give it my best to co-pilot.
I have quite a few friends in Indiana, Ohio area. We'll get you hooked up. I'll have to send them some cameras. We'll make a whole fucking YouTube video about it.
Yeah, dude, I'll definitely do a on-site YouTube for you. I know Badlands is right here. I mean, I don't know if it's like the baddest place to go wheeling or anything. I have no knowledge as far as that goes, but I hear it all the time. So
yeah, it's not the baddest, but it's a place.
Yeah, that's it. Sometimes those are the best places.
Yeah, a lot of stuff here on the East Coast is like private land only. And if you get caught there and it's not your fucking land, ooh boy, you are fucked.
Fun fact, here's something for if you guys watch Dirt Every Day.
A lot of them do, yes.
I think Dirt Every Day. Dave Chappelle is actually he's a mini trucker.
No shit.
He's part of a club called Negative Camber. And it's all dawned on me because
why have I heard that name before?
He's had a few fellow members on the show, but just being from the mini truck scene and watching Dirt Every Day, you'll see the logo, and I'm like, I know that logo. That's my world logo. You're doing four-wheel drive stuff. That's my world's logo.
No shit.
That was the cool fact that I had found out, and I thought it was pretty cool. So
yeah.
Make up a little cocktail here.
Fuck yeah. Bloody Marys. You didn't do the bush.
I know. I should have. That's probably going to cost me my sponsorship right there. Dude, I'm not a big beer drinker, but all my friends drink Busch Light, and for some reason I can do Busch Light, and we will just destroy 30 packs. I don't know what happened, but
hell yeah. Cheers, bro.
Cheers.
Busch Light, I cannot. I drink trash all the time, but I can't do Busch Light, man.
Dude, you know what's wild is my taste in beer is literally in the gutter. Like, I like Busch Light, Old English 800. Like, I have my taste is across the board, but it's not the good board. It's
no,
dude. It's the board where you have to drive to certain places because they're the only ones that have it.
I drink Four Loko probably 2 to 3 times a week. Like, I don't give a shit, dude.
I have a video from Halloween that I made the old Four Loko with a bang and a Four Loko.
Holy shit.
It probably wasn't one of my best life decisions, but I mean.
Oh, man. I love a nice glass, big, tall one of Bud Ice. Woo.
Yeah.
Get your blood flowing.
I'm not sure if there's anywhere by you, but there's a local restaurant here. And maybe you get like a local bar or something to do it, but it's a great thing is they do what's called an iceberg. Uh-huh. And it's a tall beer about 2/3 of the way up, and the rest of the third is frozen margarita. And beer is so cold, and that last like few mouthfuls are like perfectly limed. I don't know if you like lime in your beer, but like
that sounds delicious.
It's a treat. It is for sure a treat.
Oh wow. Is it like Mexican restaurants?
No, this is like, it's like bar food, basically. It's like bar food in huge portions. It's super good. It's a great place.
I'm going to have to try that.
If you make your way
shit.
To Tucson Meridian, we will absolutely eat there. Cause it's like a double whammy. Like you eat great food and get shit faced at the same time.
you're speaking my language, dude. Those are two of my favorite things. All right, so do you have are there any, this is a big thing in like the social media Jeep world is sponsors. Do you have any sponsors for this build?
I don't have any sponsors. I do have a lot of guys in my corner, a lot of guys that have been with me for a long time. Phil Vlotti at Twisted Images, he's known me since I was 16, since the Ford fucking Ranger. Since I was a high school kid, he used to work at a shop called FBI, which was Fender Bender Incorporated.
Oh, I like that. Clever.
One of the OG air ride parts places. And it was in Sacramento. And I've known him since I was a high school kid. I'd go in there, not buy a damn thing, and just bug the shit out of him all day.
That's terrific.
He's been a great guy to me ever since. Super solid, super genuine. Matt Baker with Mini Truck Cartel. The family over at Driven Clothing, Drop and Wear Clothing. They've just all been in my corner, been all great and supportive. The club on petitioning, Severed Ties. Everyone's just kind of contributing, always been supportive and stuff like that.
If I would venture
anyone, like don't hate me for it, but
yeah, don't hang him for it. I would venture to say that relationships like that a lot of times are more important than sponsorships, because from what I've seen, a lot of the sponsorship stuff is just due to, like, you have a certain number of people that you can reach. We're using our money to give to you, which is essentially like buying ads through your platform. But what you're talking about is real people, real relationships. Like, if you need something, let me know and we can make it happen.
Absolutely. I'm all about supporting people. You know what I mean? I have friends with shops, my guys here at Slumville Garage up in Detroit. Another buddy of mine, Detroit Chris, Mad Professor Customs, Nick Woodring has Mutiny Fabrication and Body, or Frame Body, sorry. I'm all about building everything up, you know what I mean? There's no reason that the wealth can't be shared. There's enough vehicles out there, enough people out there, whether it's clothing, you know, vehicle builds, parts, whatever. There's enough to share the wealth. There's no reason to hate on anyone or put someone down just to get your buck up, you know what I mean? So, I mean, I'm all about building friendships and building people, and let's watch people do what they love. You know what I mean? There's no reason why not to.
Right. We've talked about that specific thing on this podcast before. Is it something I got from another podcast, Rigged for Dirt, where they say a rising tide lifts all ships. So if everything is going good, everybody's doing good. And that's something that it took a lot of years for me to realize this. Cause when I started this brand, Seven Slot, there were a lot of other competing people. And it was always my mission to, like, destroy them or be better than them. And I'm like, there's enough, I say customers, but they're like friends. There's enough people that are going to support both of us that we can both grow. So there's no reason for me to be a fucking dickhead. And in the beginning, I was not nice.
in the same, when I first came out, dude, I was all about, or not all about, but, you know, I didn't see things the way I do now. You know, growing older, I definitely have found peace with myself, and it's definitely helped me to see that, you know what I mean, a conversation can change someone's day, you know what I mean?
It costs
nothing, you know what I mean? It costs a couple minutes to talk to someone, and that could be all they, you know, that could be the highlight of their day. Like this dude, I'm gonna be smiling ear to ear off this podcast for fucking months. So
you know, I cannot wait until this airs, dude. It's gonna be sick.
Yeah, it was great. And you know what's funny is you said Seven Slot. So the stereo shop in, I think I brought this up to you, the stereo shop I worked at in Louisiana, we had actually got so much.
You said Louisiana? So much, I already know who you're talking about.
You already know. We had gotten so much work through Seven Slot, Southern Louisiana, that we started giving them discounts because they were always in there. And so when you had added me and I saw your name, I remember telling you, like, man, did you like luck out on timing or what happened with, like, you got Seven Slot, no numbers at the end, whatever. And you're like, I am Seven Slot. And I'm like, oh shit, this is the real fucking deal. Okay,
legally, I am Seven Slot. But that goes back to what we were talking about earlier. And that was when me and them had a conversation. That was like 2013, 2014. That was when it first started. And I was like, oh, this is the worst and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, they're doing their own thing. They do so much fucking charity work, dude.
Oh, dude,
like, it's gotten to the point now where I'm like, I mean, I'm not even going to – they're not taking away business from me. So, I mean, yeah, it's legally my name, but I'm not – it's not worth it for me to go after them because – they're just doing good shit. They're on the news. They're on local news and shit.
Well, dude, if they got the same outlook, you know what I mean? Like you said, if they're building people up too and, like, you know, doing the same thing, it's supporting you, building other people up, then there's really no reason, you know, unless they're like kind of going against you and like doing their own shit and trying to make their own thing or, you know, putting a negative image on anything that, you know, more power to it.
Which they haven't. They've been doing their own thing. So more power to them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So anything in the horizon for you once this build is done, anything else, or are you going to ride this one for a couple years?
I foresee me getting this thing done, but the more Jeep shows I got a buddy of mine today. I was talking to him and he put a whole nother, you know, idea in my head. I really wanted to build an MJ.
You know, I have one, right? You keep speaking my language, man.
Yeah. For $1,600? Is that where we're going with that? Or
I got mine for $800. I'll have to send you pictures of the floor though.
The floor.
There is no floor.
See, they're already ready. See, we can bag it. I'll send you the blueprint, dude. I'll send you. Oh, you just get rid of the floor anyway. But I was talking to a buddy of mine and told him that I'm going to do some wild stuff to the Cherokee. And he asked me if I'm going to roadster it. And I'm like, no, but now that you said that, now I have to fucking build a roadster one now. So thanks, you know.
What does that mean, a roadster?
Cut the roof off. So windshield, everything else gone. See you later.
Shut up.
Yep. So I don't know. I may stick to my guns and build the MJ. But from what I see in my head and picturing mine with no roof, like I might have to build another one and cut the roof off. And I don't have the heart to do it to that one.
Please don't. No.
I'll pick a four door. Automatic 2.5.
Yes. Yes. Do that. If I see one day that you've gone and cut the fucking two-door windows out of that thing, the big-ass back windows, I will be so mad.
There's a local kid here. He's helped me out. Definitely come in clutch. I don't know his last name. His name's Kyle. He's a cool cat. He's a Jeep porter, but he actually has a two-door. I think it's a two-door. Correct me if I'm wrong. It could be a four-door. I have a shit memory. But the back windows have a wing section. They had like a wing folding section. He's like, dude, these windows are super rare. And I don't know if it's a two door and it was a big window.
It's a two door. I had one.
Okay. Yeah. So he has one of those and it was the same thing. I was looking at it and he's like, these windows are $300 a piece if you can find them. And I was like, okay, we'll just stick with the solid glass. It's fine. Solid glass is great.
I had no idea when I owned that Jeep. That's the one that I blew the 4.0 up in.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
Yeah. Fucking idiot, dude. so dumb. It was a two-door with those windows, five-speed, and God, fucking idiot. But I was, in my defense, while I blew that motor up, because the 4.0s you can rebuild, they're fucking Lego pieces, but I had just finished swapping a 5.3 into my work truck at that time, so I was like, no more motor swaps. I'm fucking done. I'm over this shit. I have too many vehicles that have fucked up motors. I'm done. And I sold it with a blown up motor like a fucking idiot.
Well, I will put out there, since you said you put in a 5.3, anyone that follows me or just jumps on my page or anything, don't get your feelings hurt. I am a strong anti-LS swap advocate.
It wasn't an LS swap. It was a Chevy 1500. That's the motor that goes in that truck.
Oh, okay. I'm actually registered. I'm on a government list of anti-advocates. So if you see me at a protest, I'm okay to be there. But I have nothing against them. I love the motor. I just wish they didn't get as big as they did, because you literally put them in everything. And the more popular it gets, the less the imagination happens. And I'm all about that. You know, if I see a LS with a Vortec cover, I just, like, a part of me dies inside. Like, I'm like, paint it or something, do anything, get rid of the Vortec cover, do something with that. Like, it breaks my heart. It like plucks a feather out of my angel wings is what it does every time.
Right.
But if you have an LS swap, I know a lot of the guys I follow have LS swaps in their stuff. It's nothing against them. I don't hate them. I don't think your build is any less. Like, it's nothing personal. It's my own sick head that won't accept it.
I can see that. Everybody's like, LS swap everything.
Yeah.
I can understand standing strong against that. Absolutely. So the very last thing that I wanted to touch on is, we talked about this a little bit earlier, and what I've seen personally is that people that build cool shit or people that do cool things are not the ones that you see on social media talking shit. And this goes for you. This goes for most of the people that I know that are building shit, is that people will support other people building shit, even if it's not this kind of stuff that they do. Like, absolutely. you, I posted somebody and you messaged me, you're like, yeah, I'm already following him. And he's like, it was Aaron Osterman, the MJ crawling guy.
Yes.
Yeah, with the gold MJ. And you're like, I follow him already. Yeah. And it's just guys that aren't like necessarily in the same circles, but just appreciate cool shit. So have you seen, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No. Finish, good.
Have you seen anybody that kind of breaks that mold? Because I feel like you haven't.
I do see it a lot. It's just from going to so many shows and being around for a little bit. And I can't say I'm necessarily innocent from that. I do see, like, you know, my big thing is like front end swaps when people do, like, you know, put a Tahoe front end on a Silverado. My thing is you need to put the Tahoe wheel arches and the bed arches, you know, the whole swap needs to be done.
Right.
I have no problem. If you love your truck, you love your truck. It's no big deal to me. You know, I may suggest it, be like, hey, are you going to do that?
Right.
It's the arrogance and response. And I feel like that's a hard part right now. So everyone's so tense and so proud of what they do, and they want to put their pictures out and they want nothing but praise back. And I'm never, I word my criticism very carefully for that reason. But it's the arrogance in return that I'm usually like, all right, well, you only did half of a swap, so no big deal.
Yeah.
But I definitely have, you know, I'm out there to help. If someone has a question, you know, or if I see something that could be an issue later on or needs to be addressed, then I'll say, hey, maybe check this out.
Yeah.
But I definitely cater to my audience. You know, I if it's someone I know that's going to take that in, then I'm absolutely more willful to help them.
Mm-hmm.
If it's someone I'm not too familiar with or doesn't know me as a person, I know, you know, just reading stuff is so different from hearing it. You know, you can judge someone's directing something by hearing them, by their voice, their mannerisms, everything. If someone's in a bad day and they read something that could be negative, they're reading it negative. And I know myself, sometimes I come off real abrasive when I say stuff. I'm real blunt. I explain stuff in words that I understand that someone else may not understand. So if it's someone that I'm not totally familiar with, I may kind of tread lightly, but it's the same sense. You know, I want to see cool shit all over the place. I absolutely don't want to see someone get hurt in a car accident, especially wheeling, dude. That's dangerous. Something goes wrong, you know, catastrophically, dude, that someone could get really hurt. And that's the last thing I want to see. And anytime I try to give someone criticism, it's never to out someone or bash them or anything like that. You know, I'm really stuck on that rising tide thing. That's really stuck with me, because that's exactly
what I didn't come up with it. I don't think they did either, but that's who I remember hearing it from.
that's awesome. And that's exactly it. I want everyone to enjoy what they build. I don't want, you know, I've been there when I was a kid and didn't really have the guidance to build stuff other than screwing up and finding out myself, you know. If I can prevent someone and have them enjoy from the start, then why not? I'm big on leaving something behind, you know, let teach someone a trait that they can hand down, or, you know, whatever, set a standard for somebody. There's no reason for just blatant hate. You know, I mean, like I said earlier, I mean, I have the same pace as someone, but if I see something that's not really being addressed properly, like, okay, you know, that's not anything I would do, but what I see, this may be an issue, you know?
Right.
So I'm big on that. I definitely see there is hate still existing, which sucks. You know what I mean? It's definitely,
of course,
but I try to prevent it when I can, you know?
Yeah. The people that are just blatant hating on Instagram are the ones that haven't been punched in the mouth in real life.
That's it. That's a valuable lesson, dude. That is very valuable.
I mean, it is what it is. But last thing, I promise. Last thing. There's a guy called Vague Industries on Facebook. He builds all sorts of random shit. He's real big on, he's like, be the person that you looked up to when you were a kid. So like when you were 6, 7, 8 and you saw that cool car and you're like, oh my God, that's so cool. Like, be the person that takes the time to be like, just give the kids a thumbs up, or, dude, you know, and then it translates into, you know, on Instagram, there's a, you know, a 13-year-old kid who's like, oh, your fucking shit is so sick. And then you take the time, those 4 minutes, to interact with them. Exactly.
Dude, I'm huge on that. I've lucked out just here recently in the last part of this year, just shouting out, you know, music artists, comedians, stuff like that, to have them reach back out. I'm all big on remembering that you're a human, you know, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, you may be famous, you may be big, popular, everything, but don't forget you're a human, dude. You can communicate just the way everyone else is. You're never too busy for that, you know?
Yep.
And I'm super big on that. And one of the things I've seen that's actually a big change that they've made here in the mini truck scene, and correct me if I'm wrong, if any mini truckers check this out, I know a bunch of them are looking forward to it. I think I saw it at a show called Lone Star Throwdown first, but they put a banner that said, out there is a kid, and I'm probably going to butcher this, I'm sorry if I do, said, out there is a kid looking up to you, be the guy that kid needs to look up to. So basically, like, everyone,
love that.
usually shows would do post a sign to try to be funny and be like, don't be an asshole. You know what I mean? And that's, I see him. Don't, you know, don't act wild, whatever. That's right. Probably the best wording I've ever seen. And it's kind of caught on to other shows. It's like, be the kid, be the person that that kid needs to look up to. That's yep. the best wording I've ever seen. And especially being one of those kids, dude, like I have no issue, you know, bouncing, you know, adjusting the air suspension for a kid or whatever. And my big thing is, you know, I'm covered in tattoos. A lot of times I have my gold teeth in. Kids will, you know, you do anything for your kid. And so many parents that would ordinarily not give me the time of day will approach me and be like, hey man, can you make your car bounce for my kid? And like, it makes a parent totally like look past all the image and the bullshit for their yeah. kid to make yeah. them happy. And it's like I said, dude, that you will make that kid's whole day. And it maybe change that image of that parent, you know, where they thought I was going to take their purse, you know, so they would call me, but I took their purse and I have their cell phone, but
yeah,
I'm kidding. but no, I mean, I used, you know, growing up, I was always about the attention and I just get arrogant and everything like that. But now it's just like, dude, spread that shit. You know what I mean? Build something better, you know, especially in yeah. these days where everything's so tense. Dude, there's no reason for that, dude. Like, yep. bring the peace where you can, you know, I'm all about
Yo,
it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Everybody's is so polarizing on everybody wants to be on teams instead of, you know, nah, just dude, enjoy team. And shit.
It's all of us. Yeah.
Exactly. So I think that is a great place to end. Honestly, man, I could talk to you for another fucking 2 hours. But
maybe part two. Maybe part two yeah, after I do
dude,
the rebuild.
I would. You know what? I would love to do is part two in your fucking garage next to Let's your Jeep. That would be Absolutely. Fucking dope. I'm trying
we'll
to
we'll
do.
Find out for get some Meridian. We'll go to the show. Come back. Check it out. Everything.
Beers and margaritas.
Beers and margaritas, dude. We'll go there.
Fuck
for
yeah.
Sure.
I'm trying to do more traveling this year, but dude, thank you so much. I appreciate Absolutely. It. We will have links to, I'm going to get with you offline. I'm going to get, all the links for all the people that you mentioned so we can Absolutely. Shout them out and shit. But is there anything else you'd like to add before we end?
Dude, just thanks for everyone who's, give me attention or not, I want to say give me attention, but give me appreciation, followed me. Even like the picture, dude, like that it means a lot to me, dude. It's not a just small stuff. I really appreciate everything. Anyone, like I said, anyone who's followed me and I haven't followed you back, shoot me a message. I probably missed it with everyone that came out. Any questions, let me know. Cause I'm asking the same questions, finding out stuff myself. So yep. I'm here to build everyone else. Thanks for having me, dude. It's been an incredible experience, dude. I appreciate it a ton.
Okay. Just kidding. We have one more segment to add before we go. Go ahead, Circus.
Totally forgot. Shout out to my roommate, Cole Decker. Definitely helped me a lot. Bounced around ideas with him a lot. And he's definitely helped support me through, you know, the times where I kind of lost a little motivation or, you know, guidance or kind of lost track of wanting to finish it and stuff.
I feel that, man.
And definitely to my bosses, Scott McAllister and Ryan Krugler, let me build cool shit in the shop. They've been awesome. And Scott's son, Lucas, he's a young badass, going to be a awesome metal worker, you know, going to college for it and everything like that, but he's definitely spent late nights in the shop with me and definitely added a extra hand and advice and stuff like that. So I definitely wanted to make sure that they get their name in there. And
yeah, so. Absolutely. We're all about, I am not self-made. Well, I'm like self-made, but at the same time, I wouldn't be anybody without the people that have helped support me. So for you guys listening and watching, we jumped back on after this to re-record this because I want to make sure that we shout out the homies that have, you know, helped you get to the place that you're in.
Absolutely. Sorry for the listeners. Sorry about that.
don't be sorry. They've been through much worse. My podcast is terrible. Nobody listens. So, and you also have a funny story. So why we stopped is that once we stopped recording, I went upstairs and I was so amped to tell my wife about probably one of the greatest podcast episodes I've had of 2021. We'll see what the numbers say, but I feel like it was a great one because this shit is fucking dope to me. I go upstairs and my wife is fucking pissed and I'm like, I have some great things to tell you. Why are you so mad? She's like, your middle son just pissed all over the fucking floor. Apparently, as little kids do, he's playing on his tablet. He's like, I don't need to pee right now. I can wait. Well, turns out when he got up to go pee, he just pissed everywhere. So I was like, Circus, we need to wait. I need like 30 minutes to clean this fucking piss off the floor. And then you said you had a story on that vein.
So we have a rental property next door to us. It's a two-story house. And we have like, it's like someone walled off halfway through. So we see both top and bottom story.
Right.
And we've yet to have a successful neighbor or neighbors or renters in there. They've always had some sort of not desirables in there. A wide range, whether they party all weekend and they're college kids, or they just suck, or they make the place look bad.
Yeah.
Well, our last neighbors, my roommate was mowing the yard, and allegedly, supposedly, I wasn't here. I just heard the story tail hand, but a rock went through their window, or their window broke. And the son had come over and told my roommate while he was mowing the lawn, he's like, hey, I think a rock came off your lawnmower and shattered our back glass. And he's like, I really don't think that happened. So don't know what to tell you. I'm going to finish mowing my yard.
Yeah.
So he finishes and he comes in here. Well, the dad comes over. And when the dad got home, and he kind of did the like tough guy thing, like, you shot a rock through my window, it's shattered, you're taking care of it. And he's like, well, first off, I grew up in this house, so hold on. He's
yeah.
like, your landlord has insurance on the house. It'll get taken care of. He's like, but I'm almost confident the rock didn't come from my yard. And the dad is trying to like punk him about it. Well, as he's punking him, his son has the screen out of the upstairs window and is pissing out of the upstairs window. And he,
holy so
the dad's
shit.
Trying to be a tough guy. And my roommate goes, hey, just so you know, your son's pissing out of the window right now. And the dad comes over like, God damn it. And has to storm back to the house after trying to be the tough guy to peppermint his son for pissing out the window. Well, we just got new neighbors, and yet we have yet to see them piss out the window, but the younger two kids definitely decide to use it as a trash can. So they just open the window, put their trash out, and shut the window. So there's like a pile of trash.
Jesus.
So
my question is,
yes.
My question is, did the glass break into the house or out of the house?
I don't know. I have no clue. I just heard the story of the glass shattered, and but yeah, that definitely would have been.
And they don't live there anymore.
They don't live there anymore, and there was a extensive remodel after they moved out. So,
oh yikes! But
I can imagine.
In the boy's defense, if you see a broken window and you have to pee, I mean, like, are you going to pee in the toilet, or are you going to pee out the broken glass window?
He peed out the normal window upstairs, like full show, like full fountain.
Oh Jesus Christ!
No, that's the normal window, because in the Midwest we have window unit ACs. We don't have central heat and air.
Right.
So a lot of the windows already don't have the screen in it. So he just picked the window that didn't have a screen in it and started to piss out of it.
Oh, that wasn't the broken window.
No, that was the back door. The back door. That the window that faces us is the window he chose to pee out of.
I thought you were saying the window was broken and he chose to pee out of it. You're saying
the
window that was broken was not peed out of.
No, he broke the back door, and the kid decided that he'd established that window as his pee window, so.
Jesus Christ. That fits in perfectly with what I just had to deal with.
Yeah. I mean, maybe you just teach him, like, hey, if you have to pee, you don't want to go to the bathroom, pick a window, you know?
I mean, they have a window in their bedroom. I don't know what the fucking problem is.
Yeah, you may have to re-roof that area, but I mean, so. But...
Holy shit. Well, I'm glad we got to shout your boys out, man. That's really important to me. So
I appreciate you letting me jump back on here.
Dude, of course. This isn't set up all the time, but I didn't immediately disassemble it because I'm a lazy piece of shit. It's awesome. Well, thank you guys for listening. I appreciate it. Make sure you go down and check out all the links down there. This will be on Spotify video. It'll be on iTunes, Facebook, and YouTube. You can watch the video. Thank you for being here. I love you guys so much.